Please to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel has been speaking about this vision once again. And as we wrap up this chapter, starting in verse 26, it says, "In the vision of the evening and morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days." So he's told to close it up, seal that thing, because it's not for right now. And this was the ram that was then attacked by the rough goat. The rough goat being the king of Greece, which was Alexander the Great. And but he says this is not for many days. That horn that came out of that is the Antichrist, which puts that yet future for us today. So he sealed it up and closed the book. Verse 27, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days." This not understanding what the little horn that rose up there, which is the Antichrist, has really affected him. As I said, mentioned before, he fainted here. And not only did he faint, he was sick for a number of days after that fainting spell. But then he rose up, did the king's business, and was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He recovered, went back to his business, but all the time troubled by what this little horn was, not being able to fully understand that thing. Any questions or comments before we go into chapter 9? All right, chapter 9, verse 1. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Now, the last vision that he'd had was kind of stepping back before some of the other visions he'd had previous to that. So time-wise, chapter 8 preceded chapter 6 and 7. It went back to when Babylon was still in power. I think it was at the end of chapter 7 when, 6 or 7, I forget which it was now, but one of those chapters was that Daniel experienced. It tells about the fall of the Babylonian Empire. But the vision of chapter 8 precedes that fall when Belshazzar is still king. Now we've gone past the fall of Babylon. Darius, the Mede, they've conquered the Babylonian kingdom. So this vision takes place after what took place in chapter 8 and after what he'd seen in the other visions as well. It's the third year of Darius. Babylon has fallen. Darius has been appointed over Babylon, and he says, "I understood by books the number of the years." Daniel was a student of the Word of God. There are things that others had written about before Daniel that at least gave him some reference to connect with what had been revealed to him. One of the things was the 70-year captivity. Let's just take a moment and look at some of these references. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. So Isaiah writes when before the Babylonian captivity. In fact, Isaiah's ministry started before the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrians came in first, conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, carried them captive. It was 125 years. No, I guess Isaiah couldn't have seen that thing. I'm getting confused here. But the Babylonians have not conquered the southern kingdom of Judah when Isaiah writes. So go to chapter 44 and verse 21. Isaiah 44, 21. "Remember these, O Jacob, and Israel, for thou art my servant. I formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Look at verse 28. Thus saith, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundations shall be laid. Who's Cyrus? The king of Persia who what? Commissioned Israel to go back to Jerusalem after the 70-year Babylonian captivity. Well, Isaiah is writing this probably 100 years or more before Cyrus even rose to power. He's identified by name, and that he's going to be God's servant and about building the temple. Daniel understood by books. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words. Now, Jeremiah, of course, is preaching just prior to the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah lived through the Babylonian captivity. But he's warning the people of Israel, look, you need to get things straightened out or things are going to get real bad for you. And so that's what, through the whole book, that's what he's doing. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words. You know, they're not listening. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolation. That's going to be the consequence of their rebellion if they don't get things straightened out. Verse 10, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So he identified the length of the servitude before the conquest had even taken place. And so Daniel had this knowledge as he was carried away captive to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar came in. He knew how long they were going to be, or at least at some point after the captivity, whether he knew before or not, we don't know, but he'd been studying and he learned, okay, this is how long God says this captivity is going to be. This is how long we're going to remain under the control of the Babylonians, 70 years. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. I will bring upon the land all my words which I pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. So not only did Jeremiah prophesy of the 70-year captivity, giving the parameters which that captivity would fall within, but then he also prophesied the fall of the Babylonian kingdom. More than 70 years before it happened. And he says, I'm going to do to Babylon what I allowed to happen to Israel, that there would be perpetual desolations. Chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Chapter 29 and verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Let me just stop a moment here. I want you to think for a minute about the ministry of Jeremiah. Keep your finger here and go to chapter 1. Go to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. He talks about before he knew him, before he was born, while in his mother's womb, he knew him. Let's see. He talks about sending them to a people that aren't going to listen to him.
They shall fight against thee. That
verse. Where is that? Yeah, maybe it wasn't. Well, let me just, I'll start reading the verse. I'll just tell you what's going on here. God tells them, they're not going to listen to you. You're chosen, you've got a role, and Isaiah is similar. You have a responsibility to preach what I tell you, Jeremiah and Isaiah. But nobody's going to listen to you. The people aren't going to hear you. And Jeremiah went through a pretty rough time. He was arrested. He was thrown down in a well and left there and just had to be pulled out with old rotten rags and everything. And Zedekiah was the king when the Babylonians finally came in. Zedekiah persecuted him because of his preaching. They didn't like what he was saying. Because basically, let's put it in our context here. Suppose I were to get up to some Sunday morning and say, okay, folks, the Russians are going to come and attack us. Don't fight them. Put your guns down. Put your hands up. Walk out of your homes and let them take you captive. Let them take you away. Do not lift a finger against them. That was basically Jeremiah's message. Because God says this is a judgment coming upon the people of Israel because of their rebellion. Now, how would you receive that message from me? Out of town on a rail, right? That's what happened to Jeremiah. They didn't like it. But that's what God told them to preach, because that's what was going to happen. And so now we come here to Jeremiah 29, and he says this, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 4, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives. So you that I've told, surrender, you that are being taken away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build ye houses. Make yourself at home in Babylon. Dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives of your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. He says, look, folks, you need to carry on your lives just like you're still in Jerusalem. Just make yourself a home. Go ahead and increase. There's a purpose for all this. Verse 7, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. The wicked city of Babylon, seek the peace of it. Don't oppose them. Become part of the people. Now, not part of the sin, but be part of where you're living. You're going to be there for 70 years and seek the peace of that city. Aren't we told to pray for all that are in authority over us, for the kings, yes, and so forth? Same message. Verse 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed." You're getting a different message? Don't listen to it, because it's not from God. Verse 9, "For they prophesy falsely unto you in thy name, in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord." See, Jeremiah is not preaching his message. Jeremiah is preaching the message of God. He's speaking what God is telling him to speak. And through Jeremiah, God's saying, if somebody's telling you something different, it ain't from me. Because Jeremiah is my servant. He's doing what I told him to do, in spite of the consequences that he's suffering for that. Verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and will perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." So not only is the captivity going to only last 70 years, God says, I'm going to cause you to return. And what did he do? He raised up Cyrus, the king of Persia, to commission the people of Israel to go back to Jerusalem. And he financed the trip and the rebuilding of the walls and the rebuilding of the temple. I guess God caused them to go back to Jerusalem, didn't he? Daniel's got all this knowledge available to him because he understood by books what God had planned. He goes on here, verse 10, "Be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you, perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, I've used that verse a lot, but not often in context. I mean, that's a pretty comforting verse, isn't it? You know, God's got a plan and purpose. But here's the context of it. And I don't mean to say that God can't speak that to your heart in some given situation, because that is God's thoughts to us of peace with an expected end. But historically, this is the setting for this, of bringing the people of Israel back to Jerusalem. That 70-year captivity has a purpose. He's using it to chastise his people because of the rebellion against him. Verse 12, "Then shall you call upon me, and shall you go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Now there's a prayer promise there. And as we'll see, and I don't know if we'll get that far tonight or not, but I believe this is part of what motivated Daniel in the prayer that he made later on in chapter 9 of Daniel. He says, "If you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I'm going to gather you and I'm going to bring you back into this place." 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Verse 21. Yeah, I probably need to get some context here. Well, start at verse 20, I guess. "And them that escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon." This is talking about the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, "where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years. See, one of the things, you know, Israel had ignored the Old Testament law. And not, what's commandment number 4? The Sabbath day. Saturday. To keep it holy. From 6 p.m. Friday evening to 6 p.m. Saturday evening is the Jewish Sabbath. People today call Sunday the Sabbath a lot of times. It's not the Sabbath. It's not anything to do with the Sabbath. We're not observing the Sabbath today. We're not under the law. The Sabbath is part of the law. But Israel was under that Sabbath, as well as the rest of the law, and they'd ignored it. So God says, you're going to keep it now. 70 years. There was another thing, and I came across this in my reading just this last week it was, in Jeremiah 32. He talks about that. Well, let me see if I can find that quickly. Jeremiah 32. I'm not finding it now. But he said that part of the thing too was, if a Hebrew had indentured themselves to somebody else, was indebted to somebody, and they gave themselves as a servant to that person, how long was that servitude supposed to last? Anyone know?
7 years.
They were supposed to be released after the 7 years. Nobody could be given as a servant to somebody else, no matter what the debt was, if they were a Jew, to another Jew, for longer than 7 years. They were to release them and forgive the debt at that point. They weren't doing that. Here, somewhere in Jeremiah 32, it talked about that thing. And in there, Jeremiah points out the fact that that too played a factor in this 70-year captivity. That's seven. That thing is important in this thing. The 70-year captivity is to punish them, discipline them for having forgotten the Sabbath. One more passage, and then I'll open it up for some questions if you have any. Leviticus 26. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14. So everything we've been reading now has been much later in Israel's history. Now we come to Leviticus, and this is while they're still in the wilderness. They've not even entered into the promised land yet. God's given them the law in the wilderness. He's speaking to some things and telling them what he expects of them, what he demands of them. And beginning in verse 14 of Leviticus 26, the law says this: "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, if ye shall despise my statutes, or if ye soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant," which they did, "I also will do this unto you. I'll even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." So there's sickness, there's terror, there's consumption. All those things, God says, I'm going to allow to come upon you if you break my law, if you violate my commandments. These things will all be a part of what you're going to suffer. Verse 17, "I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I also send the wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you shall not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, shall punish you yet seven times for your sins. And you will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you gather together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you also in fury, and in even I will chastise you 7 times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. Things are going to be so bad that they resorted to cannibalism, because they turned away from God. And I will destroy your high places, verse 30, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I'll make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I'll bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. Because you didn't observe the Sabbath. God says, I'm going to let all this come upon you. I'm going to take you out of there. Then the land's going to rest and enjoy those Sabbaths which I established under this Old Testament law. You see, every 7 years, after 6 years, the seventh year, they weren't supposed to cultivate the fields and plant. It was to lay fallow every seventh year. So there was a weekly Sabbath, but there was a seven-year Sabbath as well. And then there was the year of Jubilee on the 50th year as well. But he says, you ignored all that. That's what Jeremiah preached about. What God had warned in Leviticus, Isaiah and Jeremiah preached about. And Daniel went back to the books and started looking. Oh, I understand why I'm here, why we're here, why we've suffered as we had. And I know I've spent a lot of time on this, but I think it's significant having this background when we get to Daniel's prayer in just a few more verses. But he didn't fully understand the vision, but this gave him some insight into part of what God was doing. Questions or comments? Ben.
So it's tremendous, tremendous consequences when we don't follow mm-hmm. God's plan and his will.
And none of it's a surprise.
No. Well, Mm-hmm. Here is heart. And Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
I guess it comes down to a matter of trust. You know, we're not under the law, but what the Israel was to do with their Sabbaths and the dietary rules and all the other regulations that God put upon them is a matter of, you trust me. He had a purpose in laying that all down. He wanted the land to have that rest that it needed. He wanted the man to have that rest that he needed, and the protection from many things as well. In fact, I can't remember exactly where it is, but as he's giving the law, he said, if you will do this, if you'll keep everything that I've said here in Exodus and Leviticus, he says, I will not add to you the diseases of Egypt. You see, disease came about as a result of disobedience. How many of you know what GRIDS is? You never heard of GRIDS? Eileen has. Gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. That's what it was called before they politically correctness intervened and called it AIDS. Acquired immune deficiency. Originally it was called gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. You see, sodomy, is God despises it. He says it's an abomination. But there's a protection by forbidding that God had there. And because man ignored the protection, the result is they suffer the consequences. They didn't trust, and this disease results from that. So God gave it to them? No. But that was the consequence. If my child comes up to a hot stove and is going to reach and touch it, I say, don't do that. And they keep reading, don't do that. And they insist and they put their hand on it. And after I've said, okay, go ahead. Did I burn their hand? No. I was trying to protect them. But they ignored the warning and they suffered a consequence. And I use that the gay thing, is the GRIDS thing, the AIDS is just one example. But there's so many other things too. God says, look, there are some things you need to avoid because there are consequences that will come to you if you don't avoid them. We need to trust him. Israel needed to trust him. The protection of the Sabbath, all those things were for Israel to help them to be a peculiar people, but there were many protections in that as well. And how's that apply to us? God says, you need to read the word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Well, Christian, do you spend time in this every day? We need to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I wonder just how many emotional and mental problems today people have because they don't pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The worries, fears, the depression, Because we don't pray. We don't cast our burden upon the Lord. We're trying to carry it ourselves. God says, you can't do it. You need to trust me. Just like Israel needed to trust him, we need to trust him. God says, here it is. But there's consequences that I will suffer when I don't heed what God tells me to do. It's not because God's being mean. Just the opposite. God says, I don't want you to burn your hand. Okay. You insist. See? So that's how I would put that together. Any other questions or comments? Bunny. I don't know.
I think most of the Israelites, when they were wandering 40 years in the wilderness, they died. It mentions the word they died of consumption, and then it just mentions the nightmare. But that was just going to be a plague if they disobeyed. I was just wondering what it was.
It could be cancer.
When we asked Dr. Manning that one, he looked it up, and that's what it said.
Cancer? Okay. Just the idea that your body just wastes away, you know, eats itself up in a sense, I guess, is part of it, yeah. That's right, I've forgotten about that. Any other questions or comments?
What was the average lifespan during the Israelites' captivity in Babylon?
Oh, boy. I don't recall any ages being given of like any of the prophets off the top of my head.
The reason I asked that, I was wondering if those that entered in saw the day that they were able to return back to their homeland. That's what I asked.
Daniel did. I think Daniel did. But I'm not sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did because, you know, they're not mentioned again. Whereas Daniel, you know, he was served Darius. So he was carried captive by the Babylonians. So he saw that captivity. He endured the whole 70 years. And then he saw the return back to Jerusalem as well under Darius and Cyrus. So, which, you know, at this point in chapter 9, he's probably in his 80s. At least. Mid-80s, probably, because I think I suggested he could have been about 12 years old when carried captive, so 70 years would put him 82. So, any other question?
Who was it specifically that persecuted the prophets? Was it a system, or was it an actual people group?
You mean from within Israel, or... I mean, everybody, all the other nations despised Israel. Under David, they rose to power. They were a world power under David. Turned over to Solomon, and he maintained that and expanded his wealth, you know, and Queen of Egypt came and just marveled at all the things there and said the half wasn't told. So there was all the other nations, just like today, you know, everybody hates the United States. Or not everybody, but a lot of people do just because of that. And a similar situation, I believe.
I don't mean the nation of Israel. I mean the prophets.
Oh, okay.
The men that would preach. Who was it that would persecute them?
The priests, the kings.
So it was within Israel?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Yes. And you know, again, you think about Jeremiah's message. It wouldn't sit well today. And that's what happened to him. It was the people of Israel that turned against him because they didn't like what they heard, what he was telling them. Any other questions or comments? Eileen?
In Ezra 3, just to answer Bunny's question, when the temple foundations were laid, verse forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men and had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So when the foundation of the temple was laid, there were a number of ancient people there who had seen the original temple.
Okay. Survived the captivity. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else before we wrap it up for tonight? Let's pray. Father, we look at the suffering because of disobedience that the people of Israel experienced. And it's easy for us to detach ourselves from that. But there's a lesson to us. God, you want us to obey. And you want us to trust. And it's not because you're a mean, evil God. It's because you love us so much. And you want only what's best for us. That's revealed in what you're preparing for us there on heaven's shore. God, may we be stirred to give ourselves more faithfully to that which you desire for us to do. That statement I've heard this week, God wants me to do what I can where I am, because I can do nothing where I am not. God, help us to understand the profundity of that and be willing to be used of you where you have placed us in the purpose that you have for us. Bless and keep us safe through this week. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.